shootings, beatings of those who attack, indictments, incitement, fiction, or fact. Zelensky, Putin, Ukraine fighting back. The border, the migrants, the policies we lack.
Good evening, Senator.
Keeping you connected to Northwest Florida and the world when you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, A10 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Julio Diaz. He is the host of the Pensacola Movie Club on Thursdays. They like to watch a movie. And then also, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard here on News Radio on Saturdays at 4 o'clock. Julio, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So this movie you guys watched, Five Nights at Freddy's, is like, I remember when my boys were really into this game and loving it and terrified of it and enjoying it. And it seems like that was about a decade ago. It seems like it's been a while. So first question for you is this the right time for this, or is this kind of how things are? It just takes a while to get them made.
It's pretty close to a decade since the first game came out. There have been several games at this point. And I think this has kind of become a pop culture phenomenon. Was the iron a little hotter maybe 4 years ago?
Right.
Maybe so. But the fact is, it's just taken this long in development on this film, and that happens sometimes. It went through. It was originally going to be made at Warner Brothers, and then it got Warner Brothers dropped out of it, and ended up being made by Universal and Blumhouse. At one point, Chris Columbus was going to direct it. He dropped out of it, and here we are. That being said, doesn't seem to really be hurting anything because. They made this film for something like $25 million, and it's expected to make $50 million plus this weekend at the box office.
Wow.
And that's with it also being available day and date on Peacock. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so they look like they have quite a hit on their hands. I think this is going to definitely, you know, if the interest in the franchise has dimmed any, I think it's going to be brought back up here. I'm not going to be surprised if we see another one of these movies. Just because of how well it looks like this movie is going to do, independently of whether it's any good or not.
And then you have the cross bonus of, you know, maybe it rejuvenates interest in the video game, or you get a subsequent one or whatever.
The thing that I think a lot of fans are excited about in this case, too, is that there are a couple of things. One is that the creator of the video game, because this was an independent video game. This was not like something that came out from like one of the big game manufacturing things. This was just one guy that developed this game and built it himself, and it caught on.
I just want, for people who may not know, the premise of the thing is you're hired as a night security guard in an old, like, animatronic driven entertainment venue, like a, you know, a Chuck E. Cheese or something like Showbiz Pizza. Yeah. And then at night the possessed creatures come to life and you have to defend yourself against them, like with things like your flashlight. So it's a horror slash comedy is the genre I would tend to put it in. But anyway, go ahead, Julio, you were saying.
Yeah. So he has been heavily involved in the making of this movie, including co-writing the screenplay, and he's a producer, and there's a lot of good, like, if you know this franchise, there's a lot of great fan service. And I watched it with my daughter, and she is a big Five Nights at Freddy's fan. So she, you know, was telling me, oh yeah, this and that, and, you know, all the things. I haven't played all the games or anything, so I'm more superficially familiar with it. That being said, is it a good movie? I think it's got a decent third act, but it takes a long time to get there.
That's the people who probably play the video games are going to love it, and everybody else is, you know, maybe you can enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we'll probably watch it with the boys at home, you know, on Peacock or whatever. So
yeah,
that's kind of our approach.
I feel like once we've got the setup, like if they are to make another one of these, I'll be interested in seeing it because the setup is done now and they should just be able to go straight into it. The animatronics look amazing because
they
were made by the Jim Henson Studio. and they just look, you know, straight out of the games, and they're fantastic, and the way they move and everything is really cool.
All right, I was just going to say, we're running a little short on time, but Freelance, After Death, and Inspector Son, any one of those stand out to you as the one we're seeing this weekend?
In terms of reviews, Inspector Son is getting pretty good reviews. It's an animated noir with a spider detective.
So
that's getting pretty decent reviews. Freelance is not getting good reviews at all. It is currently sitting at 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh,
despite a great cast led by John Cena and Allison Brie. And then After Death is a kind of a faith-based documentary, and that was not screened for critics.
Got it. Meant for an audience, as you and I usually say. What are you going to watch next week, Julio?
Not sure yet. Waiting to see what's going to open up, but as soon as we know, we'll post up on Facebook.
Absolutely. Follow him on Facebook at the Pensacola Movie Club, and also listen to him tomorrow here on News Radio at 4 o'clock for Let's Go Pensacola.
If you're a horror fan, if you're excited about Five Nights at Freddy's, you're going to really love this week's show because we're getting really deep into the icons of horror right as we lead into Halloween. So
I think
people are going to really enjoy that. Yeah.
And I know that is a side passion of yours, so very cool, obviously, as you say, coming up to Halloween. Julio Diaz, my friend, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
8:16 on News Radio 92.3, the Transgressors Memorial Ceremony comes up next. If you don't know what that is, oh, goodness, stick around. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
All right, we have 98 westbound in Tiger Point at Avalon Boulevard starting its usual morning backup. Also, Burgess Road at West Florida High School showing some morning slowdown there. North W Street and West Fairfield Drive is starting to flow smoothly from that earlier road blockage. If you have any traffic info to report, you can text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Whether you're looking to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 95% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the spring semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tea times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. Join Todd Zadors with Gulf Coast Air Care on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 and learn how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember, the Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. That's Gulf Coast Air Care on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Halloween costumes and Halloween-themed events at public schools following the lead of New Jersey's South Orange Maplewood School District, which announced their new policy this week. The reasons for this ban are obvious. Halloween celebrations violate both core principles of equity and inclusion, since some students do not have the financial resources to compete in the highly cutthroat social competition of Halloween costumery. and since other students have religious objections to Halloween itself. As Superintendent for Access and Equity Kevin Gilbert told NewJersey.com, quote, "Always, Halloween has been one of those subjects in the equity world that districts have to wrestle with," end quote. So true. And if there's one thing McClatchy's second dictum on equity teaches us, it's that if anyone can't afford to do something, then nobody should be allowed to afford it. We may not be able to make their parents all drive the same cars to school, yet, and we may not be able to shield students from the tragic reality that some jobs pay better than others, yet, but we're sure as Halloween can prevent those spoiled rich witches from flaunting their wealth in front of the poor unfortunate souls whose only costume recourse is to destroy some bedding and wear a ghost face that insults the practitioners of Native American spiritualism. Also, we gladly embrace the holy doctrine of inclusion by honoring the practice of those otherwise whimsical and fun-loving Jehovah's Witnesses who do not desecrate themselves by participating in Satan's holiday. It's only right to let their abstinence be imposed upon everyone else. If anyone feels left out, then everyone must feel left out. That's what equity is all about, making sure that everyone shares in the misery equally. And of course, we haven't even mentioned the way Halloween mocks the sincere faith of many Wiccans who dress as witches all year round. And let's not ignore the open mockery of sincere Satan worshippers whose deity most certainly does not sport horns, red skin, or a flimsy plastic pitchfork. And don't get me started on the superheroes, which are just thinly disguised vigilantes or sexist embodiments of the patriarchy. Now, okay, some will surely say that wearing Halloween costumes is just a lighthearted and fun way for kids to be creative and entertain each other one day out of the year. Do you think the hallowed halls of public education are the appropriate place for fun and creativity? Education is serious business, mister, and you better not forget it. No more clowning around. No more fairies and merfolk and Barbies and spider-thems, and certainly no more species appropriation of rabbits and cats and cocaine bears. No, ma'am, let everyone be equal and included, especially if that means stomping out every last bit of fun and imagination from our schools. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, basic competency requirements for high school graduation after the Oregon State Board of Education recently suspended those standards through the 2028 school year because students of color, students with disabilities, and students learning English as a second language were all underperforming on the standards. We certainly applaud Oregon's wise, woke-alike leaders for recognizing that if a school system is unable to teach minority and alternately abled students how to read and write and do math, then the solution is to simply pretend they have these skills rather than actually making sure they do. If they're not passing the standards, then the problem is obviously with the standards. And we wholeheartedly endorse the equity enhancement and demarginalization being practiced here. Yes, the soft bigotry of low expectations is magnificent. But Oregon is proposing many other fine ideas as well, such as eliminating A to F grading in favor of equity grading, mostly because traditional grading is ableist and racially insensitive, obviously. They also want to do away with homework, which clearly reinforces the two-parent-centric class oppression so prevalent in our society and perpetuates the so-called Protestant work ethic that we've been so lazily trying to abandon. Oregon may even eliminate grade reductions for truancy, since attendance policies are the sort of thing that well-off white students are privileged enough to be able to prioritize. And they might even stop punishing cheating, since, as we know, cheating is just the rational response of oppressed minority students who cannot achieve top grades without creatively circumventing the racist system of test-taking and individual merit. Faced with a school system that tries to impose the white male educational paradigms of arithmetic and traditional grammar on you, you'd cheat that system too. So down with imperialist competency standards, down with grades, down with attendance policies, and up with thinking outside the honesty. You go, Oregon. Keep championing equity and just see what you get. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to celebrate the phenomenal work not being done by the female and non-binary citizens of Iceland, who went on strike for one day this week to protest the persistent gender pay gap in their progressive Wheatopia. I don't like to say utopia because there's no U in equality. Wait, there is a U in equality? Whatever. After a similarly massive nationwide walkout nearly 50 years ago, Iceland passed a law guaranteeing equal rights to women in 1976. They improved on this landmark legislation in 2017 with mandatory equal pay certification that requires all companies above 25 persons to pass rigorous pay scale audits guaranteeing that pay is not dependent on gender. Unfortunately, despite these brilliant laws, Icelandic women are still paid nearly 21% less than Icelandic men. Rather than showing that rules mandating gender-blind wages don't work, we all know this simply means the law is not strong enough and enforcement is far too lax. Now, look, some apologists for the patriarchy will take this opportunity to claim the gender pay gap is an illusion because, you know, if it were true, they say, any rational business owner would be a fool to ever hire a man. These propagandists of sexism will say that if all you have to do to cut costs by 21% without losing productivity is to hire women, then female-centric companies should be dominating male-centric or balanced ones in the marketplace, but they're not. In response, we say that, look, the whole purpose of modern social science is to disprove exactly that kind of ludicrous common-sense thinking. Are we really to believe the primitive reasonings of ordinary business owners over the sophisticated conclusions of government-funded research designed to reinforce our anti-gender ideology? Social science proves that social science is right. That's why social scientists don't bother going into things like, you know, business to implement their conclusions. Duh. And yes, we realize there is a little irony in women proving they're just as valuable as men by walking off the job and doing nothing all day. But maybe a good solid dose of irony is just what the patriarchy needs right now. And if the sistren and the otherin of Iceland can't earn as much as their brethren simply by producing and performing, then by all means, hold their feet to the fire with unenforceable laws and strident demonstrations of principle. That's the sort of thing that always works well historically. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please remember Josephina Josephson, who is still homebound this week after discovering that she inadvertently consumed some non-ethically sourced pimentos in her vegan imitation bologna loaf 2 months ago. Even though she tasted the haunting flavor of oppression in her sandwich, in a moment of weakness, she continued eating it and even realized she enjoyed the taste. The guilt has been crushing ever since, and we hope for her safe return to the Congregation of the Faithful. Meanwhile, we appreciate your support in our ongoing and powerful pimento loaf boycott. This week's post-service team-building exercise will involve a deep dive into respect. In groups of three, you will practice first, asking each other if you have permission to ask for their preferred pronouns. Second, if you have permission to give them a non-gendered compliment on something other than their physical appearance. And third, if you have permission to offer an apology to them for something about which you have experienced privilege in our society. Be sure to finish with asking permission to affirm each other with a mild non-sexual pat on the back or, if you're feeling bold, a brief hug.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
827 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Jake has traffic on the fives.
Burgess Road at West Florida High School is showing the usual morning slowdown. Also, 98 westbound and Tiger Point at Avalon is starting to back up. Highway 29 at Beverly Parkway, we have a vehicle crash with roadblocks, so please use caution in that area. If you have traffic info to report, you can text us at 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Okay, I think I can share this text on the air. Somebody texted me at 437-1620, A to F grading is racist AF.
What does that stand for?
I don't know. Just, you know, failing, obviously. David Wayne is in the... But by the way, can I say this? I barely had to make anything up this week. The whole series in Oregon, those are all things they're actually contemplating. The superintendent for equity is a real person. That's an actual quote. I mean, I barely even have to write them. They just write themselves. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Unbelievable. All right. The U.S. putting new sanctions on Hamas and Iran's Revolutionary Guard. The Treasury Department said in a statement today that issuing a second round of sanctions targeting assets in Hamas investment portfolio and helping the Palestinian group evade sanctions. Minnesota Democratic Congressman Dean Phillips has announced a bid for the presidency. He made that announcement yesterday. He says data shows Democrats will be facing an emergency in November. Coming up Saturday, it's National Drug Take Back Day.
The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration has authorized Saturday as National Drug Takeback Day. That means you can drop off any prescription drugs at most police stations and some medical facilities all over the country. To find a Takeback Day location near you, you can go to dea.gov/takebackday. I'm Bree Tennis, NBC News Radio.
And I did look, and it does list the Escambia County Sheriff's Office for that collection
there
tomorrow.
You go. There you go. Very good. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 8:30 on News Radio 92.3. Hey, coming up in just a second, I've invited some friends in for the wrap, like we always do, but this week I specifically focused on parking because that was such a big issue this week. We talked about this quite a bit with Mayor D.C. Reeves, but I got Scott Salas from Dalrymple Salas. He is going to disagree with me, and I love that. I don't know where Collier Merrill falls on this scale, but obviously he has a lot of interest in downtown parking and business, so we're going to talk about that, among other things, coming up on the wrap right after Fox News and David with your local headlines.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Among the 18 people killed in Wednesday's shootings at a bowling alley at a restaurant in Lewiston, Maine, restaurant manager Joseph Walker. Auburn City Councilor Leroy Walker says his son confronted the shooter with a knife.
My son went after the shooter trying to defend everyone that was being shot at and just lost his life in trying.
More than 80 FBI agents have joined the manhunt. Israel's defense minister says a ground operation against Hamas terrorists in Gaza is close and that it will last months.
The Israelis conducted a series of raids overnight, not just from the ground, but also from the sea, trying to destroy a number of Hamas cells along the border. They're also targeting tunnel infrastructure beneath the Gaza Strip as the number of hostages inside Gaza has risen to 229 people.
Fox's Trey Yingst in southern Israel. Stocks are mixed, not too much movement to start the day on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 and News Radio 92.3. It is 68 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Residents in Perdido Key most likely will get the chance to vote on whether the community incorporates into its own town next year. Both sides of that issue had a chance to plead their case last night at the Escambia County Legislative Delegation meeting.
I believe we need to take this to the state. We need all eyes on this. 40 senators, 120 House members, we rely on the combined wisdom of Tallahassee. Many, like yourself, have experience in local government, and over the past 50 years have witnessed the formation of 32 new municipalities in Florida. Together, you have seen what works, and you have seen what doesn't work.
And that is Steve Brentrow with We Are Perdido. Ultimately, the delegation did approve filing the legislation that would put it on a ballot for 2024. That'll be prepared by Representative Alex Andrade, and it still has to be approved by the state legislature. The state attorney's office has handed down indictments now for two men in a couple of separate fatal shootings. According to Channel 3, 29-year-old Jerry Foster and 41-year-old Jeremy McConico have now both been indicted on first-degree premeditated murder charges. Foster's accused of killing his cousin, 38-year-old Jarvis Johnson. That happened last September on Emerald Avenue. Meanwhile, McConico allegedly shot and killed Rodney Norris Jr. March of last year at a home on Massachusetts Avenue. He was being held in Texas, but was recently extradited back to Escambia County. The agreement between Santa Rosa County and their ambulance service has been changed, at least slightly. Due to staffing shortages, lifeguard ambulance will now be tracked and scored by response times rather than their minimum staffing levels. Lifeguard ambulance founder John Roach says, despite the challenges, the quality of service is not expected to drop.
As a citizen, know that I'm there. I want to make sure that we have the very best ambulance service. And they have committed to me that it is not their desire to cut trucks. It's just that they cannot staff the amount of trucks that the current contract, when it changed from response time requirement to minimum staffing requirement.
And that contract does allow the county to impose daily and even monthly fines if the 90% benchmarks aren't met. Lifeguard has provided EMS service in Santa Rosa County since 2007. And speaking of ambulance service, Escambia County says they're still getting too many people calling ambulances for issues that aren't really emergencies.
It depends on the day. You know, some weeks are not that bad, and some weeks it's every little thing. Like I said, the guy said he called because he's sweating too much. We had calls, like you said, they dropped the remote. We had calls, guy said something was wrong with his foot, when really what was wrong with his foot is the sole would come off the bottom of his shoe. And he called 911. And so we get just a host of those kinds of calls.
That is Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno, and he says they're working on putting together a new informational pamphlet, which will let people know when they should and when they should not be calling for an ambulance. And there may not be a Margaritaville resort out on Pensacola Beach anymore, but the restaurant reportedly coming back to the Gulf Coast soon, a new Margaritaville being built nearby in Gulf Shores at the legendary Marina and Yacht Club. That marina is still under construction. It's not expected to be complete until next March, and there's no word when the Margaritaville itself will be ready to serve up your cheeseburgers in paradise. 8:35 right now at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jake, what are you seeing?
Two spots we're looking at now, Pensacola Boulevard at Boone Street and also Highway 29 at Beverly Parkway. We have vehicle crashes with roadblocks blocking the road in those two areas, so please use caution. This traffic report is brought to you by Discover, introducing Discover Cashback Debit, a game-changing checking account with cash back. Eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank member FDIC. If you have traffic info to report, you can text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. A beautiful day in store today with temperatures near 81 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. For Saturday, high near 82 with mostly sunny skies, 64 degrees for your overnight temp. Beautiful weather continues into Sunday with a high near 81, mostly sunny. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 68 degrees in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, and 67 in Milton. Your money now. This morning the market's opening mixed. The Dow is down 69.03 at 32.71456. S&P 500 up slightly, up 10.13 at 41.4736. The NASDAQ up 108.41 at 12.70462. Our 10-year bond rate is not a big change, but up just slightly at 4.85%. Gold price is down today at $1,991. Silver price is up slightly, $2,297. And Bitcoin up $186.56, $34,187.55 today. The U.S. GDP is rising faster than was expected this quarter. The GDP, or gross domestic product, a measure of all goods and services produced in the economy. According to the figures released today or yesterday, it rose 4.9% from July through September, up from an unrevised 2.1% pace, that according to the Commerce Department. The Actors Union says they've made a little bit of progress during negotiations with major Hollywood studios yesterday. SAG-AFTRA members have reduced their demands for a first-year increase in minimum rates. They say their focus is on negotiating in good faith to secure a fair deal. And genetic testing company 23andMe has disabled one of its features after worldwide reports of a data breach. The company says they temporarily disabled parts of its DNA relatives feature that allows users to share their ancestry information with other users around the world. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
I said a hip, hop, the hip, hop, you don't stop. Rap,
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. 8:39 News Radio 92.3. This is the time of the week when I invite a couple of friends here in the studio and we just kind of hang out and talk. And if we had beers, we'd drink them, but we don't, so we don't. But, you know, or over coffee or however you prefer to imagine it. In this case, we have a returning participant, one of our favorites, Collier Merrill. He is the owner of Merrill Land Company and the Great Southern Restaurants. Collier, welcome back to the wrap on Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you, Andrew.
Very good. And also Scott Salas, who is principal. Is that how you describe it? Sure. Principal at Dalrymple Salas Architectural Firm, right?
Yep.
And a lot of the projects and builds around town, I know this from personal experience, that they're involved in because I go to talking to them on the radio and Scott will be like, Andrew, don't you know I'm doing that project? You could just ask me.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you. So let's talk about parking. I actually had the idea that, you know, we won't necessarily talk about that the whole time. We'll see how it goes. But when I was talking with Mayor Reeves and the other morning, talking a lot about downtown parking, Scott, you were texting with me, and you are an advocate of the new system. You're an advocate, I don't know for all the particulars, but you're an advocate of the style of parking management that the Civicon presents, that the mayor embraces, that is, you know, not what I want. And that's fine. That's why I wanted to have you in. For people who haven't heard, this is just so we have the facts. The proposal on the table from the consultant that DC hired from the Red Lot people, hired him away from them, and he produced this study. And the recommendations of the study are to expand the footprint of paid parking dramatically to all of your downtown areas, basically, all the way down to Plaza de Luna, and then west to Spring, and then east a couple of streets as well. So none of the free parking would be free anymore. It would all be under the app, a new app that he wants to do. The amount would be $1 an hour instead of what's right now 50 cents an hour, but that could fluctuate in demand periods, up when demand is high and down when demand is low. So you would pay based on an hourly rate that could fluctuate around $1 as the ideal. The hours for parking would go up from 7 o'clock to midnight. So instead of being just during the day ending at 7, it used to be 5 years ago, remember? It would go to midnight. And I think that's the kiosks would still exist, so people can still pay at the kiosk if they prefer to do that. Oh, and I said free would go away, but especially the free 2 hours on Palafox would go away. That's one of the key things that for a long time people have said is unfeasible, unworkable, and ought to go away. So, Scott, I'll give you first crack at this.
Sure.
I understand but hate.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Like, I understand the theory, but I want my parking free downtown. I want my city to stay a little welcoming village that we've kind of always been. I don't want it to be all these cities I go to where I have to pay to park, and I just hate the whole experience.
Well, I love that you're always consistent with your message and unwavering in that. And I think I agree with about 99% of everything that comes out of your mouth except this subject. So it's
fair
a
enough.
Pleasure to kind of be here.
We got you for the one.
Yeah, yeah. So I really kind of keep it this simple. I'm not aware of any reasonably sized, great city and certainly in America. I think there's some in some more socialist countries overseas, but that has free parking downtown. So, you know, when I start there, I was like, okay, so if that's the case, then what do great cities do with regard to free parking? And thankfully, Pensacola has reached out to the best experts that we can ever find to coach us on how to do it. So I really don't ever want, I mean, I can, I don't think that even this place, this time is a place to get into the semantics of parking, but I get saddened when I hear repeatedly from you and others that there are many people out here in this great community of ours that choose to not go downtown because of frustration or fear of parking. And I can't get my head around that. And I'll just say right here on the air, if anyone out there, if that's your story, come find me at my office downtown on Government Street. I will stop what I'm doing unless I'm in a meeting, and I will help you understand that parking downtown is quite easy. It's wonderfully simple, and it shouldn't be problematic for anyone. And I'll kind of close with this. DC's doing the best he can at combating one of the biggest problems we face with regard to parking downtown, and that is we have two options. One is his responsibility and others through the city,
right?
The blue parking lots. And then everything else, these red parking lots, those are private business owners that have said, hey, I'll let this company come in and run a business on my land and be able to, for that business to succeed and the property owner to take some income. And that's certainly a very beautiful American process. I don't have any problem with that. But that company has much higher, it's more expensive to use that company, and they have much more stringent penalties. So
because they can't write tickets. I mean, they boot because they can't write tickets.
Correct. So I always, if I'm parking downtown, I'm going to always look for a city parking option unless I'm in a really big hurry and money's not an option. I can park in the red just to buy in it and go. But to understand that's important, I think.
I love how you threw the socialist countries dig in on me. I love that. I'll take it. It's acceptable. Collier?
Yes, Alvin, if you park...
You got to get right up on the mic.
That can you hear me?
That's perfect.
So if you do have to, Scott, if you do have to park in one of the red lots, park in mine, please.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Because I am one of the red lots. But I've talked to the mayor many times, and as soon as he gets this new app, Mobile One, which is the best in the country, number one in the country, if not the world, I'm switching, you know, to make it just more seamless and... get people down there. I agree everything Scott's saying, you know, that I found out in the parking business, people are cheap first and lazy second, and you fall in both of those.
Thank you,
Andrew.
I listen eagerly
to
embrace it, yes.
You basically say you're cheap, and you're cheap. So that's what you're looking for. You know, we want people downtown that are coming down there, they want to be able to find a parking space. They can't find them now, and it's free. So think about that. You know, you start charging the people that want to come down and spend money, which the retailers and restaurants and everybody down there, that's what they want. You know, on the weekends, it's gotten really bad. Just people parking everywhere and hanging out in the parks and not, you know, they're not helping the any of the retailers or any of the people that spend a lot of time on the businesses getting it where it is. You know, I've been downtown for, you know, I got out of school, I had a office by the mall like everybody else. And we moved downtown about 25 years ago. And if you'd seen a tourist down there 25 years ago, you'd have taken a picture of them. They just weren't around.
Yeah.
And now they're everywhere. Sure. And, you know, I'm jumping around a little bit, but it's just the way it is. You've been talking about airport parking. You pay for airport parking. Should that be free? No, because you're using it. Just like people using downtown should pay when they come downtown. And, you know, I've just seen what it can do to keep, you know, people just filling up lots that have no intention whatsoever of going out and spending money. And that's just kind of where we go. It's where we're coming. We started it just to keep people out of our lots, and the revenue source started coming in. I'm also chairman of UWF Historic Trust. Mm-hmm. It's red. That will also change. If we can get on this app to make it all more consistent.
So I didn't even know that. So private business owners in the future.
Yeah, that's going to be.
Use this new city app as well.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's
DC
great.
Hasn't really emphasized that, but I think that's the strategy is create a system which can lure the current red lot owners over onto the city system and basically push the red lots out because they're so user unfriendly. That's really the sort of the long term strategy.
Absolutely.
Hold on, just a second, Collier. We do need to get a quick traffic on the files. We'll be back to this conversation. Go ahead, Jake.
We're okay. We have no major slowdowns or accidents to report right now. So have a fantastic Friday, everybody. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to you, Collier.
UWF Historic Trust, and I heard you bashing them the other day, Andrew.
They stole my favorite parking spaces.
Did I mention Andrew's cheap? I mention Andrew's cheap?
Hey, again, 100%. And I thought as a businessman, you'd appreciate that. Thrifty, no?
There's difference between thrifty and cheap, Andrew.
Fair enough.
And I'm looking at it.
I got
it. So the Historic Trust, you know, we have a lot of people come in town. Our visitation is up since we started charging for this parking. We've gotten $130,000 this year for paid parking. We can't give that. You know, that's employees and everything else. But the most important thing is our visitors coming, like, yes, you can park here because it's not free and there's going to be spots available and they're glad to pay. They just want to have a parking space to go to and pay. And that's my argument. A lot of people, I can't believe you're charging for parking. I said, did you have a space? It's not there if it's free. You know, at Jackson's, we validate people's parking in that lot that's catty corner to us, and it works because it's not full of people parking there free, and so they want to pay and it's never full, and we validate the parking. We do it at Angelina's. We have parking for people. We validate it. We pay for it, but they want to know they have a parking space, and without it, I give a quick example. There's a big condo complex. When you come over the bridge in Destin, those two monster towers, you know, it was free parking. They have all these boardwalks and retailers and all. And the parking, hundreds of spaces. And it was full of people all the time. but it's just a bunch of yahoos running around, running on the boardwalk, not doing anything. Started charging $10. Retailers hit the roof about it. I can't believe you can charge until about a month went by. And then they go, our business is up so much because now the customers that want to come spend money that would not come before.
That's actually part of the argument that I understand and bothers me both. Because you're right. You know, as far as target demographic, you're not trying to get Andrew McKay to come downtown because I don't spend a lot of money. But I do
that's
go.
That's correct.
That's yeah. But I.
But you do. You.
I love seeing. I love seeing you.
No.
But there are people who just would like to enjoy downtown.
Right. So parking downtown has to accommodate both the financially able people who are going to support the businesses, who are going to spend money at Angelina's and at Jackson's and at Fish House, and that's great, of course, and are going to shop on Palafox and all that. But there are also parks, and there's entertainment, and there's events, and there's amenities like, you know, for example, Plaza de Luna. We've got this, you know, when it's working, we've got this great splash pad at Plaza de Luna. Well, that's now going to be paid parking. What used to be, you know, a fairly simple thing for, you know, mom to take her kids on a weekday to go down and park for free, she's now going to have to pay to park. And she has to ask herself the question, well, I'm not paying to get into the splash pad, but I am paying to get into the splash pad. And so people who still want to come downtown for whatever purpose other than spending a bunch of money, you're really deprioritizing them, discouraging them, pushing them aside and saying they're not our target demographic. They're not really as welcome here or maybe not welcome at all compared to the people who are willing to pay, who don't mind paying and are obviously going to come spend money. And I totally get that as a business argument. But that's not the only purpose for parking downtown.
And I haven't seen that whole footprint of how far they go. I agree with you 100% on that point. And there's so much free parking downtown. And I'm glad.
And there still is. Yes,
I'm glad
there still will be.
You corrected yourself a minute ago saying they're getting rid of all free parking. They're not.
In the footprint. That's right.
It goes back to cheap first and lazy second. You will move further out. When Wahoo Stadium first was opening up and I was chairman of CMPA board, I was like, man, they're going to be filling up parking. It's going to be a problem. It's not. There's so much parking on those streets and you can still do that. You know, we're looking at the infrastructure. I can remember about 10 years ago, I was paying my employees to put up Christmas lights. I mean, we just didn't have any infrastructure and money and the Pelican drops. All that's got to be paid by somebody. Mm-hmm. You beat the hell out of somebody the other day, one of our commissioners, because you said he wasn't forward thinking. He hadn't planned financially to do the improvements that needed. I think D.C. is doing a great job of looking, this is a revenue source. What are we going to do? And he's just not some, like you've said, he's a businessman. And knows we got to start looking down the road. And
you know, that's fair. I was very critical of Stephen Barry over that unwillingness. I know what you're hearkening to, and that's a fair concern. And again, I think if we had started from scratch, like if we didn't already have it, and there's definitely an entitlement thinking here that I am guilty of, but it's also kind of this entitlement thinking about something that I kind of love about this place, that it's not that big city. It's, again, when I go vacation, my wife and I go travel all the time, and we go to cities, and every time it's the parking just is so infuriating, either the having to do it or the getting of the app or just the cost of it, and it's just so, it's so alienating. Like, we just don't feel like they want us there, and I've experienced that in Destin, you know, going down to Noriega Point. Good Lord, they just went from, it was, I don't know, it was a couple of bucks or something to park down in that area previously, and it's now 10 or 15 for 3 hours. And I'm like, good Lord. And it just, I mean, from one trip we went to, like a month later we went, and they jacked it up like that. And that's that kind of experience. What we both said is, well, I guess this is our last time coming. Like, it's just so off-putting to have that experience.
Sure, I don't see anything that costly ever come into our city for many, many years. And I heard you make that argument the other day about not everyone coming to downtown is intending to spend money. And I just think that as true as that is, those people, those Andrew McKays of the world.
I'll take it. They're my people. That's fine.
You know, if you want to enjoy a park, people who want to enjoy parks are pretty active people. And I think very capable of walking to the destination they want. They can park a little outside of the place and walk to the thing. And the people who really want to buy that jewelry or whatever is, let them have a more convenient parking space they pay for. And I'm curious, you know, if you were downtown, would Andrew McKay pay a $1.50 to park to go get nickel beer Or would you pay? Would you have free parking to buy the $11 brewery?
In all fairness, I don't pay to park ever, and I don't pay $11 for a beer either. So
yeah, there you go.
I am definitely not. If your goal is to get the money spender guy, you know, to come downtown, that's not me.
Yeah.
I am not the driver of the economy. We, you know, three kids and stay home and manage our money and save for the future. I get it.
But I do like where you know, it's also the amenities. We want you downtown. Don't get me
sure,
wrong.
Sure, absolutely.
Because it doesn't feel like you do very much.
Which you talked about, you know, variable parking, which I actually talked to Philip this morning. I wanted to make sure I couldn't find that it is going to be variable, which it should be, like hotels and everybody else does.
Which I think is part of why the new app, they want to switch to the different app because that will allow them to create the variable park. In part, that's why that.
And it won't start off right away, but the difficulty, I tried to explain to my mom to get on that app, and it was tough.
Sure.
She goes, I'm just calling Jackson and validating. I said, you're not going to Jackson's though, Mom. She's like, I'm doing it anyway. Or she parks in my lot. They're trying to, you know, it's a new, there's no playbook right here. We're doing it. I think doing it exactly the way it should be. Not knee-jerking, as we've talked in break one time about, you know, some people might just knee-jerk something out there. DC's done his homework. He's got Philip doing a great job. I think people give it a chance. You know, the churches were up in arms, you know, and I had a meeting with one of the preachers with DC. It's like, DC's, well, first of all, you know, Father, we're not charging on Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's still not true, right?
And that ended that. You know,
but goes, okay. Wednesday, you know, for second service or whatever the Rex is doing or whatever the Methodist Church is doing. Yeah. We'll come back to this. And the other, there's a lot of churches right there on Palafox. Yeah. That's a good point I hadn't been thinking about. We're talking to Scott Salas and Collier Merrill, essentially about parking, which I think is the hottest topic right now in Pensacola because we're on the verge of making some pretty big changes. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
I'm making my job easy this morning. I have no major slowdowns or accidents to report. So just stay safe out there. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So
parking leads to safe streets.
There you go. Two thoughts. One thought is, Scott, one of your original points was if you go to any of these other cities, they don't have free parking. And
great cities.
Yeah, sure. And sort of one take on that is, and therefore we should be like them because they know what they're doing. The other take on that is, I'm glad we're not like them. We're different. We're unique. This is something that, yes, free parking on Palafox is insane. But it's cool, insane. It's different. It's like I think of the beach. You know, the beach is next. We got commissioners already talking about trying to charge for parking out on Pensacola Beach. And I think, why do you want to destroy one of the things that makes us so, you know, uniquely what we are? And then the other thing is, and Collier, this is a little more pointed at you, but I get how, you know, at Jackson's, okay, high demand parking area, right? But you move two or three blocks over to Fish House and Atlas, you don't charge people to park in that lot. Are you planning to?
No.
Because if you charge...
Well, I own that lot and I control it. My problem was...
But I'm saying you don't... You control it, but if we got the pickleball thing coming in on the port, okay, you're going to have a lot more demand. People are going to start wanting to use that lot for other things even more than they already do. The theory would seem to say, well, Collier should start charging for that lot to free up spaces, but I don't expect you would because you know that would adversely affect Fish House and Atlas.
I tell you, I would do it and I would validate just like I do at the other restaurants. Right now, on big weekends, we have somebody sitting out there controlling our parking lot. If you're coming to the Fish House, come on in. If not, you can't. And I pay a lot of money for those spaces to have. And, you know, that's my case in point. If it were to fill with the freeloaders that are coming down, and I shouldn't say freeloaders.
No, it's
we
a
love
fair
having
term.
Them. It, you know, the minis, the Pelican Drop, the gallery night. I've been on this committee, and we've self-funded ourselves. You know, the police officers being the biggest expense. We got to pay for all those. But... those amenities shouldn't be paid for somebody that's not using them. Right now, there's a lot of people have gotten together, and Scott's been very instrumental with getting things moving downtown. It's getting there. But as we do more and more of these, you know, the city can't keep paying for the Pelican Drop when somebody in East Hill's like, why are my taxes going to that? So
right.
I pay a lot. Are you in the DIB, Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Inside the DIB, we pay an extra tax.
Right.
I pay $40,000 a year just on my buildings just to be in there. But I love it. I, you know... the Wahoo, when they said the baseball's coming, that's going to help all your restaurants. And no, it doesn't. It hurts my restaurants, to be honest, because you go there and eat hot dogs, which is great.
And then you don't come and eat the...
Yeah, yeah, but I love that it's there.
One final thing is, this was raised, I got a text here at 437-1620. I didn't get a chance to get to all of the texts, but one of them was, I'd be okay with it if I knew where the money was going to go and if the money was going to be benefiting the users in the city. And yeah. I think the answer there is actually yes. That's one of the things DC's been clear about is...
No, 100%. If it's not, call me. We'll both go.
Scott Collier, thank you so much for joining us. It was a really good conversation.
Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.